Taking your Bibles, find Exodus chapter 20, please. Deuteronomy 5 and Matthew 22 for our opening text. Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Matthew 22. In Exodus chapter 20, I call your attention to just one verse, verse 12, which states, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And if you have been reading through these Ten Commandments, you will realize that last time we saw that the fourth commandment was the longest as far as words were concerned, but this is the only commandment out of the ten that has a promise attached to it. And that promise is longevity. You want to live a long and nice life? Well, there's a catch to that. How you respond and treat your parents is a good indicator maybe on how long you're going to live on this globe. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 5 and 16. "Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God had commanded thee." So honoring mom and dad is not an option. It's a command. "That thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And now turn to Matthew 22, verse 35 to 40. "Then one of them," meaning one of Jesus' friendly Pharisees, which was a lawyer, "asked him a question, tempting him and saying," so notice that even the very motive of this man is under suspect, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And then notice what Jesus says about these two commandments. "On these two commandments hang or hinge all the law and the prophets." In these verses today, we now move into the second table of the law, where we will be confronted with our horizontal responsibilities one with another, starting first with our responsibilities in the home. We've already contemplated our vertical responsibilities as unto our Creator God and the God of our redemption in the first table of the law. This is called the first table. This is called the second table. And as I mentioned before in the past, if you look at these, they form a nice picture of a cross. Okay? In the past weeks or so, we've been looking at the vertical. What is my responsibility between me and God? Now we take the horizontal, starting with commandment 5th to the 10th commandment. We begin now to study our responsibilities one with another. As mentioned in a previous lesson on the 4th commandment, the 4th forms a neat and clean, smooth transition into the 5th. And that's this little dash line I have here, going from the 4th to the 5th. There's not a break between the 4th and the 5th, but a smooth transition. Why do I say that? Well, in the 4th commandment, God is addressing the head of home to supervise the family's compliance with their Sabbath duties and responsibilities. Remember what that 4th commandment says? Thou shall cease work. You, your wife, your children, your maidservants, your critters, your animals, your domestic creatures, they're all going to rest. God apparently was speaking to someone in that 4th commandment, and it wasn't the children. He was speaking to the head of home, whether it's dad, or if dad's not in the picture for whatever reason, then mom assumes that responsibility. Thus, parental authority is addressed, or it's assumed, and those under it are to submit to God-appointed authority. How will submission to God-appointed authority be cultivated in the heart of those who are under it? How does God cultivate within us and within society our responsibility and duty to submit to any form of authority that ever comes into our life? Have you asked that question? Well, beloved, I believe the fifth commandment neatly answers that. The fifth commandment addresses how you and I are to respond sociably under anyone's authority. The first thing I would like to do, beloved, is simply read from the Catechism three questions that relate to the fifth commandment. So just give me your undivided attention. What is the fifth commandment? Well, according to question 66, here's the answer. The fifth commandment is, honor thy father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. Second question, what is the requirement of the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment requires the preserving, the honor of, and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relationships as superiors, inferiors, and equals. Did you get that? This commandment, my dear friend, addresses the relationship between the parents themselves. Not just parent to child and child to parent, but listen to this. This commandment is quite broad. This particular commandment will first and foremost address two issues in the home. Headship and submission. The husband and the wife. It also addresses the interactions between the parents to the child or to the children. What is the parents' responsibility to their children? They are to nurture. They are to discipline. They are to provide a role model. Parents are to provide a consistent witness to the best of their ability. Parents are to instruct, and parents are to set boundaries in order to control their children's behavior. This commandment also addresses the interrelationship between children or a child to the parent. What is the children's responsibility in this commandment? One of submission, one of being teachable, one of being obedient, one of respect, honor, and compliance. Let me add something here at this point. You know the word honor that's found there in the fifth commandment, found both in Exodus and in Deuteronomy? Do you know what that word in Hebrew is? Reverence. And it's the same Hebrew word only used in our reverence, get this, to God. So some have drawn the conclusion that while children are in the home under the roof and the authority of mom and dad, parents stand in the place like God before their children. They're not God, but they stand in the place. They are to represent God to their children in their home. That same word honor comes from the Hebrew word for reverence. And that's the same word reverence used in our relationship to God Almighty. Thus, this commandment addresses the dynamic, continual exchanges between each member of the household. So when we study this fifth commandment this week and the next, we're not going to just be studying what children are to do under their parents' authority, even though the commandment seems to address that primarily, and it does. But this commandment is quite broad. It has a much broader scope. It has tentacles, if you will, that touch everything about the family and about the home. This commandment, therefore, places a bubble or an incubator over the home, creating the home, get this, as the soil to foster and to cultivate future social relationships that a child will eventually deal with as he or she grows up to manhood and leaves the nest. Listen to this. What about the children who grow up and they seek marriage. Where should those children learn about marriage? Oprah? Dr. Phil? Divorce court? Judge Judy? Should not children learn how a marriage is to function by actually witnessing the relationship between their own mother and father in the home? What about the boss to the employee or the employer relationship? If the father is the head of the home and the wife is to do submission to her husband, and that submission doesn't imply that the woman is stupid or inferior to the man. No, that's not being advocated here, friends. But God has placed the man to be the head of his home. His wife is to render submission and obedience. Well, where does a child ought to go to learn the relationship between headship and submission? Do they need to learn that out there in the street, or should they learn that in the home? What about the teacher-to-student relationship? If parents are to be the first teachers of their children, and the child is to be the actual student or the one receiving instruction, ought not that child to learn how to interact when they go to school, whether it's public, private, parochial, college, university? Should not that child learn how to relate to an authority figure on how they relate to mom and dad when mom and dad was instructing them in the home? What about our responsibilities before the police officer? What about our responsibilities before a judge? What about our responsibilities before our elected officials? Beloved, do you see how broad this commandment is? This commandment doesn't necessarily touch only a child to mom and dad. It has far-reaching consequences. So therefore, I can draw the conclusion that most people who land themselves in prison because they had no regard and no respect for authority, I think I'm on pretty safe grounds to draw the conclusion that when they were in their homes, they were not angels turned demon when they commit crime. Show me a child who's obstinate, disrespectful, filthy mouth out there in the street, and I'll show you a little monster who runs that home. Because they're no different out in the street than they are inside the house. The next question says this: what is forbidden in this fifth commandment? Well, question 68 says this: the fifth commandment forbids the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongs to everyone in their several places and relations. That means that this commandment touches the honor and the fidelity and the respect that the husband ought to render to the wife, and the wife to the husband, parent to the child, and the child to the parent. Once again, my friends, do you see how broad this commandment is and how far-reaching the tentacles of the fifth commandment touch? And then lastly on these questions, what is the reason why you have this promise given? Well, that's found in question 69. The reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their good to all such as keep this commandment. When you read your Old Testament, you will find a lot of children that are mentioned in the Bible. And some of these children died at a relatively young age. And when you look at those individuals who died at a relatively young age, not all, but many of them succumbed to an early death because they had no regard for their parents in the home. And subsequently, they died young. Ever hear that song, "Only the Good Die Young"? Well, sometimes only the bad, sometimes, will die young. So my dear friend, I want to give you some applications now. All we've done this morning is introduce the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment touches on not just a child to mom and dad, but the fifth commandment touches everyone in the home and all the intricate relationships that are going on within that family. First application, listen to this, to parents. Are there sins of neglect that we need to repent of within the scope of our parenting years? Do parents do everything right the first time? Then the answer is no. Do parents make mistakes? You better believe it. Do parents sin grievously against their children? Yes, and double yes. Well, my dear friends, if you're here this morning and you're a parent or have been a parent, or how's this one, as a grandparent or a great-grandparent, with better knowledge now behind your belt, are you now striving to do a better job with the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren that God has now brought into your life? I can testify to the church, and hopefully my wife can verify this, that in my parenting skills, I have made some gross errors. But I find myself now with my three grandchildren doing things a little bit different. Hopefully, Bob has learned from his sins. So if you're here this morning and you are a parent, you still have living children, are there things in your parenting past that need to be addressed between you and God? And if you are really a believer, you need to take those concerns and present those to your children and ask them for their forgiveness if that is needful. And beloved, as saints, we need to do that. Now, for those of you here who are children, no matter how old you may be, it doesn't matter if you're under the roof of your parents or whether you are no longer under the roof of your parents. You're on your own. You've made your niche in life. You are still commanded and you are still duty-bound to obey in the context of this new dynamics of you being an adult and your parents being a little bit older now. There is still that idea of reverence and honor to your parents. And when your parents give you some wise counsel, you better be very quick to close your trap and open your head and receive the counsel that's being given to you. The reason why I say that in such a way is that when you read the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon to his son, Rehoboam. And beloved, Rehoboam was not crawling on a rug, sucking on a plastic pacifier, and drinking milk from his mother's breast when that was written. You know why? In the book of Proverbs, Solomon warns his son Rehoboam of drunkenness, fornicating, adultering, false worship, false business transactions, going around with the wrong crowd and getting yourself in trouble. So lo and behold, you get to draw the conclusion that Solomon was not giving any advice to a rugrat. He was giving advice to his son, who was next in line to be king. And Rehoboam blew it. Because when Daddy Solomon died, and Rehoboam went to the throne, guess what Rehoboam did? He took the counsel of his young cronies against the wisdom of the older men. And under Rehoboam's administration, the kingdom was divided. 10 kingdoms went north, 2 kingdoms stayed south, and the kingdom of Israel went into civil war for several hundred years. All because of one son who took his father's advice and put it down the toilet and flushed it. So if you're here this morning and you're still a child, you still have living parents, you are responsible, my dear child, no matter how old you think you are, how wise you think you are, how mature you think you are, how independent you think you are still responsible to honor your parents. America is one of the few societies now living in this current world that has a young population who has the greatest disregard and contempt for their elder, for their older population. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to go out there right now and see this society in which we live. Have you been noticing lately in the news? We have more parents now killing children than children killing parents. Just this past week, several people have killed. One father stabbed a young child, his own son, in the back. Another couple put their kid in a plastic bag and put it in a shallow grave. Beloved, this country's sick. All because this broad-reaching commandment is no longer applicable in our scientifically enlightened age. We don't need God's antiquated laws. We're going to do it our way. You got parents now, killing and burying their young. Not the children rising up with guns and knives. Parents butchering children. Honor and respect are acts as well as a state of the heart. Listen to this, young adult child. If you're here this morning and your parents give you counsel and all that comes out of your mouth is nothing but verbal abuse and talking under your breath with violent temper tantrums and purposely ignoring their counsel and admonishments and ignoring the need and then ignoring their needs in their senior years, then you are violating the fifth commandment and you get the judgment of God on your head. If you're here this morning and your parents give you some wise counsel, they're simply trying to steer you in the right direction to save you many pains and many hurts, and all that comes out of your mouth is verbal abuse, and you talk and mumble under your breath because you're too chicken to say it to their face, or you have violent outbursts of temper tantrums like some child, and you purposely ignore their counsel, you are violating the fifth commandment, and the judgment of God rests on your head. Remember, this is a command, not optional. And finally, my dear friends, the broad stroke of this commandment ultimately touches other key issues of our current day. Listen to these. This commandment is God's way of putting a hedge around the home. Just like here, God puts a hedge around His holy day, God puts a hedge around other things. His person, graven images, He puts a hedge around His name, the honor of His name, the honor of His day. Now God puts a hedge over the family. Would you disagree with me? Listen to this by way of application. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage are ongoing issues today that can only be addressed under the fifth commandment. Illegitimate birth. Scores of children being born and brought into the world outside of marriage is a violation of the fifth commandment. Deadbeat fathers who are able to father a child but not provide for their child, whether by monetary or by love or by hugs or by discipline or by correction, AWOL fathers violate the fifth commandment. And because we have a violation of the fifth commandment, we have skyrocketing needs to adopt children, we have skyrocketing foster care in this home, and bulging orphanages across this world because of deadbeat parents who are able to pop children out of an oven, but they can't take care of that child. What about child abuse? Child abuse. And beloved, child abuse can take on all kinds of forms. It's not just leaving a blue mark on Johnny's backside, but child abuse can be the emotional abuse or the simple abuse of just neglect. I don't have time for you. I have my career, my home, my job, my boat, my yacht, the country club. Here's one for you. What about the gay agenda? Is not the gay agenda nothing more but a contempt and an open affront to the family? What does your Bible tell you? Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Common law marriages, same-sex unions, and same-sex marriages now. We got several states now trying to pass these rules whereby the union of same-sex couples will be treated no different than the union of a man and a woman. You know what that means? Things like health care will go out the window, because these couples will have to be treated no different than a regular traditional family with health care needs and all the amenities that comes with that. Here's one for you. Blended and re-blended families. We have children today who spend more time on the road being bused between homes than they do living in the comfort of one home, shepherded by one couple, and being nurtured by one set of parents. Beloved, I know I'll get in trouble for saying this, but listen to me very, very carefully, and I say this with no apology. God intended one man, one woman, one lifetime, and if God blesses the womb, we're children in that family. And I have all the compassion and all the empathy for those people who unfortunately experience divorce and remarriage. I am not callous to that, but I'm going to say something I know is going to upset some people, but I must say it. Do not use that reinterpretation of the family as the new standard. God intended one man, one woman, for one lifetime. With children following. And because of these blended families and re-blended families today, we have children today who are suffering because they have no stability in their family. No stability in their family. What about live-in relationships? Why pay for the cow when the milk is free? Ever hear that one? I'm not going to buy the cow. I drink free. Why get married? We're just shacking and living together. And when things go awry, I pick up my toys, she picks up her toys, and we go our separate ways. Beloved, all these things I'm saying is nothing more but an open attack on the family. And an open attack on the Fifth Commandment. We hear things today about the generation gap. We have teen rebellion outside the parameters now. Teen suicides. Teens today are killing themselves more than ever before. Teen crime. When I'm at the school, the two police officers who come in the cafeteria to check out the menu, this is no joke. The first words normally out of their mouth, "Hey, Bob, we arrested 4 so far this morning. We took 8 down to the juvenile hall here this morning. And beloved, it's not even noon, and they're already arresting students and hauling them off to prison." Teen drug abuse. Teens now are no longer getting their kicks by buying the illegal drugs. They go down now to Walgreens or they go down to Dillon's, and now the greatest sense to get a high is to take your bottle of Robitussin and buy something over the counter now to get your buzz. You also know that since divorce has been rampant in this country and since school prayer and Bible reading has been taken out of our schools since the early 60s, there has been a dramatic drop in the scholastic achievement scores of American teens. What about women's liberation? Women's liberation is nothing more but a slap against this Fifth Commandment. And Bob wants to use this term. I call women's liberation nothing more but the butchification of women to be like men. A woman who acts like a man, we call them what? A butch. Well, there goes a butch. They got the short buzzed haircut like a man. They wear dresses and they wear the external garments that look just like a man. And they carry themselves. They curse like a man. They smoke like a man. They drink like a man. And somehow this woman thinks that she's elevating herself when all she's doing is just degrading herself. And then Bob uses this term. I call it the sissification of the male role leadership in the home. Back in the 70s and early 80s, we had this term, we're going to domesticate the male. We want a gentle, domesticated
male. He's just there. He never talks. He makes no decisions. He's just there.
Well, my dear friend, it's quite obvious on the fourth commandment, you need somebody at the helm of the ship to direct that family in the Sabbath observance. And if daddy's in the home, God requires that father to take the mantle of that male leadership on his shoulders and act accordingly. Therefore, this commandment is bridged very neatly to the fifth commandment. So, beloved, where do you stand here this morning? Starting next week, I'm going to give you a nice outline. And we're going to spend maybe 2 weeks studying this issue of the family. And we're even going to look at some real biblical examples of kids gone wild, kids gone wrong, due in part to parents who went wrong. All parents who attempted to do the right, and little Johnny did his own thing. And then he died young. But by way of application, my friends, if you're here this morning and you're still a parent, and you know of some issues that God has pointed his finger on here this morning that you did not do too well as a parent, and your children are still living and still ticking and still walking, you need to go to them and repent of that sin and make it right. But secondly, if you're here this morning and you still are someone with living parents, you owe them the dignity and the honor and the respect that God commands. And if you cannot render that to your living parents, then I can tell you to your face here this morning, you have no regard and no respect for God. You have no fear of God. And that's fine. Because I can tell you also here this morning, on the day of judgment, you will bow your knee begrudgingly. And you will say from your own tongue, you are the Christ. And while you're doing that, the angels are going to bundle you up and cast you into hell for all eternity. Not because you disobeyed your mom and dad. You will suffer pain in there because of that. But you will go to hell because you had no honor of God and no respect for him and no fear of God whereby you would call upon him as your Savior in your time of need. But my dear sinner friend, there's hope in Christ and there's life in Christ. And all I'm advocating is that this fifth commandment has very, very broad tentacles. If there's need to get things right, even in our own family and in our own church, you do so. But for the one here this morning who is outside of Christ, take our previous lesson. Repent. Change your thinking. And then embrace the Savior. And all these sins that you've been stacking in your wheelbarrow will be empty. And never to be brought against you in judgment ever again. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come before thee acknowledging that our words here this morning were quite sober and quite direct because the subject matter in which we are handling is sober and quite direct. Lord, we live in a time and an age in our own nation where the very moral fiber and the moral fabric of the American family has become disintegrated. Over 50% of our marriages end in divorce, and even those who profess to be Christians, even their marriages end in the same rate. And those who remarry, some 30 or 40% of those remarriages subsequently, unfortunately, end in divorce. Lord, we have children today who are bussed between families and homes, whereby they lose their very stability
that they need at this tender age. And we have children today who are suffering the major consequences of the foolishness of their parents. Father, we also have a society today where teens are able to kill each other with no bad of conscience. We have parents killing children, children killing parents, gangs killing each other. And all we want to do is throw money or create a new government agency somehow to put a band-aid over the issue. Our prisons are bulging. It is one of the most thriving enterprises in American business is prison business. Father, we need your grace and mercy, and we need your forgiveness upon a country who has strayed so far from your word, and we suffer the pains and the agony of those decisions by our ancestors. Help us, Father, even in this congregation, if there's needs to make repentance, if there's needs to ask for forgiveness because we have not done that which is right, whether we were parents or whether as a child under mom or dad's roof, help us to be man enough, biblical enough, courageous enough to do the right thing, even though our pride must be swallowed hard. And Father, for any here this morning who still view mom and dad with contempt, Lord, I pray for mercy for them and that they will come to realize that in essence they're fighting against you and they will ultimately lose the war. May you bless now the remainder of our day. May you bless our meal as well as our conversation around the table. Help us to enjoy the company one with another. And may even the lingering words of this fifth commandment be but the backdrop of our relationships even this hour. In Christ's name, amen. I'll have an outline next week.